The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name, buried in cheers and applause? No. I've done several episodes that do a little future casting, like episode 39, Doomsday, where you can ear witness a crazed commie dictator as he descends into the depths of madness and triggers a nuclear war. Or episode 7, Larry Preps. That one gives a view of our nation after a few years of Civil War II. Here's what that might sound like.
2.5 minutes to a dystopian nightmare, a monochromatic, eternal twilight of throat-searing, thick, gray smoke roiling with irradiated particles. An unceasing drizzle of acid rain over a burning cityscape of broken concrete and twisted steel. One vast, smoldering, no-go zone where gunfire echoes through canyons of shattered glass towers as warring gangs fight it out for the dwindling scraps necessary for survival. Food, water, and ammunition. Corpses litter the asphalt as rats and vultures feast upon them. Fortunes in U.S. currency blow through the rubble-strewn streets and gather in corners, drifts of worthless money. Cries of the sick and dying are quickly muffled by their companions. As the food supplies diminish, cannibalism rages. 21st century mankind, with all its technological majesty, is self-destructing with the original form of class warfare. Hunters and prey.
Many believe a second civil war is already in progress, but has yet to ignite into full-blown warfare. And there's no disagreement that this time around, it will have absolutely nothing to do with race. It will be a war of ideology. It seems like the entire world has migrated to the same anthill apartment complex, huh? The Tower of Babel. There have never been so many channels of communication, and despite this, truth has never been more in danger of extinction. If you're joining us for the first time, this show emanates from the Take No Shit Dojo, strategically located at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. It's for those who have had a bellyful of bullshit, political correctness, namby-pamby, nicey-nice groupthink, cookie-cutter sanitized radio, and podcasts. You want that phony, forced laughter and synthetic hilarity they squeeze out their asses at thousands of Howard Stern wannabe podcasts? We don't have that here. You want relentless political discourse parsing every fucking House and Senate vote? That's not on our menu either. There's really only one thing we keep in stock here. Truth. We like to say truth lives at the dojo. Truth is cool because truth is invariably simple. Bullshit is always complex, isn't it? Convoluted to camouflage lies. For the last Civil War, it was pretty easy to figure out who the combatants were. North and South, blue or gray, Confederate or Union. And once the smoke cleared, the country came together fairly quickly, because other than the issue of slavery, most Americans were pretty much on the same page. That has changed dramatically. Which does not portend well for the future of America. And this rift, this chasm, this divide goes way, way deeper than political parties, Democrat or Republican or liberal or conservative. Sure, it manifests with issues, but issues come and go. This is deeper. This is two different belief systems, and they are so widely divergent, it's impossible to find any common ground. Of course, this divide is obvious in political stories, marches and protests and elections, but you see it just as clearly, and maybe even more so, in some stories that are apolitical. Like the one recently out of a place called Wilmette, Illinois. An 8-year-old girl was walking her dog named Marshmallow, walking him around the block unaccompanied, it says, which seems like a falsehood right there. The dog was accompanying her, wasn't it? Nonetheless, this kid has her walk, and it's uneventful. And she returns home, where her mom is. And not too long thereafter, who should appear at the door but cops? The asshole who called the cops did not give a pinch of shit about that kid. If she or he had, they would have simply approached the kid, asked if she was okay, like, hey, which one is your house, that kind of thing, and then gone about their business. But this is what was in that asshole's mind.
I don't see a kid walking her dog. I see an unaccompanied child, and that conflicts with my worldview, which is the kumbaya hive mentality, statist groupthink worldview, and I really don't think this is child neglect, but I'm bored, and I'm going to err on the side of safety, and also signal my virtue as a concerned citizen of planet Gaia, of which we are all one community, and I'm calling the authorities because government officials know more than we do about everything, and we must do as they say because they are here to protect us and guide us and punish us if need be.
So the cops show up at this mother's house in Wilmette, Illinois, which is clearly not Chicago. Seems these cops aren't terribly busy, and why would they be? Wilmette sounds like a chunk of Mayberry. Crime stats say that Wilmette is 83% safer than the rest of the country. The cops talk to the mother, realize there was no need for them, but soon, mom gets another visit from the Department of Children and Family Services. And when they arrive, they interrogate not just mom, but the rest of the family, even her pediatrician. By the time I was 8, I was regularly riding the New York City subways alone. And I was not unique. Most kids did. Were there fewer creeps and criminals then? No. But there was an assumption made that parents, not the fucking government, that parents knew their kids best and what their capabilities were. But now, parents must take a subordinate role to government assholes. What happened there in Wilmette? What bureaucratic wire was tripped? Are the cops there mandated? Oh, there's a favorite word of hive mentality government ass lickers. Mandated. They love to say that. Mandate. You're mandated. That once any kind of kitty call is generated, are the cops mandated to then contact family services? Just because you can't be too sure. Or was the original busybody asshole frustrated that arrests were not made? And so he or she then contacted another meddling agency. There's always more to these stories than you get at most sources. Turns out the mom was, ding, 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 homeschooling her kids. That's always a fuck you to the state. Even the entire system, isn't it? Government wants to educate kids. When parents homeschool, that's non-compliance. That's disobedience. That's a red flag to the other side. That pisses them off. There's quite a lot of validity to the argument that American education isn't really education at all. It's indoctrination and training. Education is about teaching people to think for themselves. Training them is about making them think the way others want them to think. This story does not involve a politician or legislation or banners or memes. It's about mindset and worldview. And on one side of that possible civil war will be people who believe they are their children's parents and the government needs to butt the fuck out. And on the other side are those who love to live their lives as mendicants and servants to the collective, the hive. One side wants to be left alone. The other side wants to get up your ass and tell you what to do and how to live. Words are so important. As the war stands now, it's mostly a war of words. And if you're paying attention, you see word choices that immediately reveal who is on which side. Remember the word neighborhood? It's fallen out of vogue. Neighborhood was a perfectly good word that described urban or suburban areas. But the word they love is community. And you really can't spell community without commie, can you? Is that the line of demarcation between sides? Could be. A lot of Marxist tenets on that side, but no one calls themselves Marxists because it's too tough to blow by the end product of Marxism so far, and that would be about 100 million dead. Doesn't seem to have worked real well anywhere. So they just rename it and forge ahead. Progressives, social democrats, etc. I might do a show solely on deceptive verbiage, or that might take several shows. The next story also gives great insight into who will be on what side should this nation erupt into wholesale violence. There's groupthink, and then there's cattlethink, as we have in some goofy little company in Wisconsin. About a year ago, Three Square Market, Inc. offered its employees something really special, a chance to be injected with an RFID chip, just like dogs and cats and cars with LoJack. One might think this would be an unpopular idea, but au contraire, it seems to be gaining momentum. Here's what innovative, scintillating, charismatic Three Square Market CEO Todd Westby has to say about his chipping program.
We have 196 employees and 92 of them are chipped.
Oh, think of the convenience. Why, you'll never have to carry a wallet or an ID card again. Just wave your magic hand at the front door or the soda machine and presto, you're in. Your account is debited and your humanity is extracted.
The vast majority of our employees absolutely love the conveniences that having this chip in their hand really brings to them.
But really, what kind of person opts for an electronic chip in their skin? You'll know them when you see them. Looking into their eyes will be like looking through an open window. Not a single thought ever passes through their minds. Within their skulls is no emotion, no texture, no color, no spark, nothing but a continuous tone, and it sounds like this. Really, who the fuck would ask to be chipped? Like a farm animal. There's a mindset that even transcends hive mentality. At least insects are organic. Now you're getting into the Borg zone, huh? Three Square Todd says, "We foresee the use of skin chip technology to make purchases in our office break room, opening doors, use of copy machines, logging into our office computers, unlocking phones," unquote. Is Electric Todd running an office or a prison? People have to unlock their fucking phones? Scan a chip to use a copy machine? What they should do is shove those chips up employees' asses on the end of a splintered broom handle. Or maybe ram it between their blank, unblinking doll eyes with that bolt gun that creep used in that No Country for Old Men movie. Sure, it would kill them, but really, aren't they already dead? As always with these stories, you have to listen closely and to the end for the payoff and the punchline. Electric Todd keeps braying about his technology and his technology company. And I'm thinking, what the fuck does Three Square Market do? I'm envisioning cavernous clean rooms with guys in non-static suits like Intel, or maybe some cold fusion thing. Super duper high tech. But I was wrong. Todd never says it, but his high tech company manufactures vending machines. Oh, cutting edge. Goddamn Dasani and Dorito dispensers. And they supply break rooms all over corporate America. I guess that's where the name comes from. Three Squares. Yummy. Robot shit stored in a glass and metal box that excretes its nutritious plastic wrap feces with a wave of your chipped hand. Oh, and when Todd's chips first came out a year ago, he denied any tracking outside of his high-tech business. But listen now. Seems he got over that stigma. Now GPS tracking is good for you. Here's Electric Todd again.
We're in development right now of an actual chip that will be powered by the human body, the heat, and it'll have GPS tracking capabilities.
So there's another mindset, another worldview of people who really are sheeple. They'll tolerate anything, go along with anything. Do you have to worry about them if shit hits the fan? Hell yeah. They follow orders. They are incapable of independent thought. So there's two kinds of mindsets you need to watch out for, because there won't always be a bumper sticker or a meme or a lawn sign to let you know who to trust and who not. Maybe there's nothing to worry about, but at this moment, it doesn't look that way. The future looks ominous. In the next couple of days, we'll post a bonus episode everyone can use. Conquering fear. It's what holds us all back. How many times have you hesitated before approaching that pointy babe at the end of the bar, only to see some disgusting dork swoop in ahead of you? How many promotions have you missed out on at work because you didn't go after them full on? We've all got backlogs of could-haves and would-haves and should-haves. Isn't it time to stop that shit and turn those defeats born of fear into triumphs and achievements and trophies? If you want to live in the winner's circle, this show will tell you where to find the guts that get the glory. Only available at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. There you'll unlock many other episodes that change lives. Dealing with toxic relatives, decoding chick speak, how not to be a victim, how to beat car dealers at their own game, and more. So stay tuned for Conquering Fear, and then come join us for Sinner's Sunday. Thanks for hanging with me again. Until Sunday, take no shit.